The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Mark Duffy.
By golly gosh.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wowee.
Together they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
Well, we're joined now by the Duff part of that equation. The West Australian's chief sports writer, Mark Duffield. G'day, Duff.
G'day, Benno. How are you going?
Good, mate. Now, how are the Eagles going to go tomorrow night at Optus?
I'm going to tip them to win. The interesting thing is, this time of year, every week there's a different team in the gun. And so in round three, when Fremantle went over to play Carlton, it was Carlton. And in round four, when Collingwood played GWS, it was GWS. And now Collingwood comes here and it's Collingwood. So you've got to be careful when you're playing a team that is in the gun, because it tends to light a fire under them. Obviously, we saw what Carlton did to Fremantle and we saw what GWS did to Collingwood. So West Coast will need to be careful, and they're still without Elliot Yeo and Luke Shuey, and will be for some time, and now Shannon Hearn as well. But Collingwood lost Taylor Adams last week, which is a big loss for them. So,
And how do you think Collingwood's going to approach this one?
Well, we sort of alluded to this on the back page of the paper today. Levi Greenwood was on the plane. He's a tagger. So he doesn't play football. He just stops other people from playing football. And the feeling is that he will go to Tim Kelly and try and shut Tim Kelly out. And so if there is no Shuey and there's no Yeo and they can limit Tim Kelly's influence, they'll feel like they've pretty much nutted the top end of the Eagles midfield. So I suspect that'll be the way they'll try and go. And they're going to have to go that way, because without Taylor Adams, they're going to struggle to generate enough ball of their own to get this done.
And like, what are you thinking as far as the score might go? You think it's going to be close? You think the Eagles might get a bit of a run on?
It could go either way. We know how strong West Coast are at Optus Stadium, and we know how quickly they come out of the blocks. It's an interesting experience, the whole Optus Stadium thing, particularly when West Coast play. The club invests a lot in the whole production. And I reckon by the time the first ball is bounced, I reckon the opposition team feels like the Christians did in the Coliseum. You know, like the seats are elevated like they were in the Coliseum. You've got these big pictures looking threateningly down at you from the scoreboard. They do this whole countdown thing where they're all, you know, giving you the stare, the Eagles flapping his wings on the big screen.
You've got videos of Nick Nat eating Whoppers.
that's also
pretty intimidating. but you're so right, and especially because, you know, we might see 55,000 people there. And for footy players, all of them, including Collingwood, it's been a while since they've played in front of a crowd that big.
Yeah, Collingwood, obviously they've had crowds back at the MCG this year, and Collingwood's played in front of a couple of crowds of around the 50 mark. But this is going to be a crowd where, you know, if there's 55,000 there, 50 of them are going to be screaming for your blood. So that's a bit different.
Intimidating atmosphere.
Well, we saw when Port Adelaide came. West Coast came out of the blocks and kicked four goals in the first 6 minutes, and that was the game, basically. You know, Port Adelaide then sort of steadied and the rest of it became a bit of a fight. But it was over at the 10-minute mark of the first quarter. So, yeah, you've got to really steel yourself for what's going to happen when the game starts, because the crowd gets up and about, the Eagles get up and about, and Collingwood are going to have to hang tough for a little while.
Yeah, have to match that intensity for the first quarter if they're going to have any chance. And how do you rate the Dockers' chances heading to Adelaide this week?
Well, they're playing an interesting team. They're playing the Crows, who we didn't think were going to be much good, and they've won three of their four games. And they have one of the more intriguing players in the competition, because we thought Tex Walker was finished, and he's leading the goal kicking and averaging about five or six goals a game. And the change in the way the game is played has benefited Tex more than any other player in the AFL.
Well, why is that? Because I was with a lot of people who thought, oh, we've seen the end of Tex, but no, he's bounced back in a massive way.
So what he is, he's you know, built like Tarzan, but he actually plays as a leading forward. He's not a great pack-marking forward. He's not like a Tom Lynch from Richmond who crashes packs and brings the ball to ground. So he really struggled with zone defences because there was all these bodies in front of him all the time. But because of the man-on-the-mark rule and because of the reduction in rotations, the ball is flowing more, and Tex suddenly has leading lanes in front of him. He has space to lead into. And the thing about Tex, and this has always been the case with him, you give him the ball anywhere within 50 metres, he's likely to kick the goal. He is the most beautiful kick of a football you'll ever wish to see for a guy that size. So the rules are absolutely made for him.
Yeah, you think he Coleman chance?
A big Coleman chance. He's even, the way he's going at the moment, he's a chance to kick 100 goals in a season.
Which, yeah, right. You know, it hasn't been done for a while.
Well, I think Buddy was the last one back in 2008.
Yeah, well, the way the pace Tex is keeping up at the moment, he could well have it in the bag by three quarters of the way through the season.
Correct.
Yeah, amazing. And how do you think Frio are going to do?
They'll start underdogs. I won't be tipping them. But look, they've had two pretty disappointing games on the road. They'll be really determined for something better. And they're starting to get players back. And watch this space for Fremantle selection this weekend, because there's a chance Rory Lobb's going to be back about 5 weeks ahead of schedule.
Which is incredible.
From his knee injury that he suffered in that last preseason game against West Coast. So that's, we thought it was going to be 12 weeks. It's basically going to be about seven if he gets up for this game. If he's fit, he won't play in the waffle. He will come straight into the AFL team, we understand.
Will we see Nat Fyfe still have the yips in front of goal?
Good question. That was an interesting thing, wasn't it?
To say the least.
The game finished and he came back out onto the ground and did goal-kicking practice. And a few of the commentators laid into him.
Which I thought was a strange thing. Yeah, well, surely that's showing that sort of a level of professionalism that we'd want from our footy players.
So did Justin Longmuir. Justin Longmuir basically laid back into them and said, I find it staggering that people would criticise someone who's missed a few shots and wants to get better. And they gave Nat the okay to do it. So the strength and conditioning people said, yes, you can do it. You can have this many kicks. Because obviously they're cooling down and they don't want them to twang a hamstring. And he was only kicking from about 30 metres, so he wasn't really extending the leg and really driving through the ball. He was just trying to get his technique and his routine right. He kicked most of them too in the cool-down routine. So it's probably, I suspect the big problem is between his left ear and his right ear. He needs to think about it less and just go through his routine and get it done.
And as you know, someone who reports on sport, once this thing becomes a problem, if he has another bad week, it's just going to snowball, isn't it?
Yeah, but if he kicks a couple...
If he kicks a couple, it can all go away.
It just suddenly,
that's the thing with the yips, right?
It's like sitting over a four-foot putt at a big moment. A bit like Hideki Matsuyama on the 18th green at the Masters the other day, becoming the first Japanese player to win a major. I mean... Imagine the pressure that he felt over that back nine.
Amazing, and a couple of bogeys in there as well. Like it's when everything's going well, like the hole on a golf course green, it must seem like as big as a bucket to some players, and to others as small as a pinhole.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and that's why I love the Masters, because over that last nine holes, you can see the ones that are holding up and the ones that are just melting down completely.
Oh, such mental torture. And now let's talk about Swan Districts. They've sent out a really incredible letter to AFL teams this week.
Yeah, so they wrote to all 18 clubs and they basically said, we will provide you information about how good our young players are for the draft. We will provide information about their strengths and weaknesses as footballers, but do not ask us about personality and character, because we have been honest with you in the past and traded this information with you to try and help our players get drafted. And in some cases, it's found its way back to the player and been used completely unethically and improperly. So they've said, if you want to find out what sort of person they are and what sort of character they have, you go somewhere else. Do not come to us. And they feel that they're still doing what they need to do to help their players get drafted, and they feel like they're informing clubs about their players. The reason why it's a problem for them is that if a player doesn't get drafted and they have to keep him in the waffle system, and they sort of said, oh, well, you know, he's got this problem and that problem, and the player takes offence and he finds out the club has said this and he feels it may have influence his chances of being drafted, their position with the player becomes...
He's going to be pretty disgruntled.
Exactly. And that has happened a few times, so they've decided, we're putting a stop to this. We will tell them what they are as footballers, but they're going to have to find out who they are as people from somewhere else.
And you know what? It seems like a bold strategy for Swan Districts, but it's actually no different to what happens with American colleges and the NFL. If the NFL team scouts want to find out the dirt on a player from their college career before they draft them, there's no point going to their college, because their coaches are just going to say, he's great, he's amazing, he's a wonderful young man. They need to do some digging in the communities, in the bars where the players hang out, all that sort of stuff, if they want some dirt. The exception, of course, is if they have maybe a coach has a really good relationship with a college program, then they maybe get a bit of inside information. But the programs certainly aren't just giving it out willy-nilly to anyone who asks. I think maybe the Swan Districts have a point with this one.
I think they do, yeah. If that information, and they said that four clubs had already written back to them and said, if this has been asked, we are horrified that that would have happened. See, what's happening now too is that you now have, with the COVID cutbacks and the cuts to the soft caps in footy departments, you now have a lot of part-timers and a lot of casual employees, particularly, say, for Eastern States-based clubs who are kind of looking around the waffle for possible talent. So I think they're worried that the maybe the standards in professionalism may drop a bit as a result of that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it's a very real possibility. Now, 100 days to go until the Olympics. You excited?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know exactly what you mean.
I'm
with COVID, it has totally changed the aura around the Olympics.
Yeah, it has. I don't know. I think I will be in maybe a month's time.
When it happens, I think it's going to take until, well, even the opening ceremony. What are you going to see? Like, there's going to be crowds? I don't know.
Well, it depends on COVID, doesn't it? And it depends on how the vaccination programs are going and what the situation is in Japan at the moment. You know, the last Olympics, I've got to tell you this story. So my wife has to watch a lot of sport, right, just because she lives in the house with me. So she watches football and she never complains. But every now and again, she gets a bit disgruntled with all the other sports that I tend to click onto. We're sitting on the couch watching the Olympics last time round. And she was going, oh, this is boring. Oh, that's boring. You know, why are we watching this for? And then the BMX racing came on. And they came out of the gates, down the hill, first corner, massive stack. All bikes go flying everywhere. There's bodies strewn everywhere. She turns to me. She goes, this is great. All she wanted to see was a bit of carnage.
That sounds like maybe she should be watching Funniest Home Videos.
Yes.
Well, Mark Duffield, thank you very much. You're doing Duff and Quarters
podcast
today.
We're doing a Duff and Quarters podcast
today. Who have you got?
You've
got Skeet?
Skeet, Golden Tonsils Reddings. He's in with me today. And Glenn Quartermain, not far from coming back to work for those who are missing Quarters. So we're going to have to find a way to – Skeet's been so great on the show. We're going to have to sort of like work out a roster and a rotation, I reckon. We're going to have to do the opposite to the AFL. We're going to have to increase our rotation.
The rotation.
Have an interchange
system. Oh, fantastic. No doubt you'll run the rule over the round 5 in the AFL. Thanks for being on the West Live.
Thanks, Benno.